Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated, internationally syndicated motorsports show. Brought to you by the award-winning father and son car building team and the hosts of the show, Bubba and Tom.
And there we go. Good morning, Bub. It's another beautiful, sunny Saturday, South Florida morning, man. How you doing today, Bub?
Hey, man. Doing really good so far. Just, already cranking away here and getting a bunch of stuff done, not only from a production standpoint in terms of rides here at BEM, but also getting a lot of the social media stuff done this morning.
We really are, Bub. This is a huge, huge show, Bub. We've got announcements coming in today. We have the BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, is out at an event today, but he did already shoot me over his segment. So we'll do the racing segment here from him. We've got Steve with the new motorcycle minute segment. It's going to be plus, Bub, the brand new sponsor right here from BEM, Bub. It's been a long time coming. Let's talk about it, man.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it. You know, we've made a lot of changes over the past few months here at BEM. Just bringing on a lot of great partnerships, a lot of great quality, a lot of high-end rides rolling out of here, man. Crazy one-off designs. Doing a lot of stuff with SEMA builds, also for just the daily drivers, celebrities, athletes, all of it, man. It's going a lot with it, and now part of that is bringing in that icing on the cake, man. We were actually blessed to sign up with Capristo Exhaust, and we're doing some crazy things with them right now. We've got a lot of stuff in the works, and a lot of stuff's going to be hitting the streets of South Florida.
But Capristo is the official exhaust company, is the only exhaust performance exhaust company recognized by Lamborghini, Ferrari, Porsche, BMW, Aston Martin, Jaguar, you name it, it's there. We are the Florida dealer, man. And it's because of the quality of what you believe you are that did it, man.
Yeah.
I'm really, really proud of you, man.
Yeah, a lot of things going on.
Super, super, super good stuff, man. We're going to be with all of those guys, a lot of exotics. This is the swing into the exotic market we wanted to get into. Exotic Cars and Coffee is working with them. We're going to be handing out comp cards there at the Guinness World Record holding largest Cars and Coffee event in August with special promos on the Capristo exhaust, man.
Yeah, man, we're really looking forward to it. You know, we've got a lot of stuff in the works. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of crazy designs right now, that are just either – in starting phase, also, coming down final completion phase. A little bit of everything here going on at BEM, everything from, the bikes to the trucks to the cars to the exotics to the supercars to the on-road, off-road. I mean, you name it, it is here. And it's only going to continue to grow.
It's going to be amazing, Bub. We're going to jump into it. We're going to talk a little bit about it, Bub. A lot of people don't know that exhaust technologies is what we're going to be dealing with today, but a lot of people don't know that's where you really started with your fabrication skills after following the career of Billy Lane.
Yeah.
We're going to talk all about it today, Bub. It's going to be amazing.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen around the world, thank you for joining the number one rated, internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, Doing It Bubba Style, as heard right here on the Bubba's Motorsports Facebook page, Bub, and around the world on iTunes, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, and many, many other podcast platforms. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports with over 30,000 new online products available to include the Aventador body kits, the Capristo exhaust kits. Good morning to Joe Kramer. Good morning to my beautiful bride, Robin Nelbach Crane. Joe, we're going to be talking to you a little bit, I'm sure, today. Bub, this episode is also brought to you by The Moose Is Loose on the internet now, Miss Outlaw Boutique. Ladies and gentlemen, MS Outlaw Boutique, The Moose Is Loose, exclusively on the web with even bigger discounts, bigger selection, and more savings, Bub.
Yeah.
Crazy out there, man, what she's doing, isn't it?
Yep.
Capristo Exhaust, Bub. Capristo Exhaust is exhaust.
Done Bubba style.
And Orange County Choppers, Bub. Orange County Choppers are?
Choppers done Bubba style.
There we go. Right on, Bub. So, Bub, let's jump right into this thing. You know, when you were a young man, you started showing this at a very young age, your ability to bend, your ability to work with metals. You really wanted to do that. And you watched such industry favorites at the time as Discovery's Billy Lane on Monster Garage with Jesse James and things like that, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's, that was back in, early 2000s.
Wow, sure.
And,
was.
you know, that was when, you know, we've discussed it many times before, you know, that was when, you know, like television was, you know, something that you would see true craftsmanship and skill. You know, you wouldn't see this scripted, you know, nonsense stuff where, you know, 95% of it is fake. And, you know, that's not what it was then. And that back then, you know, television back then gave people, you know, almost like this hope that they could go out and do it. You know, they would show this start to finish, this idea from, you know, coming up with it in your mind to the final project in the end. And, you know, I think that gave a lot of people some talent out there, man. There's so many people that I know today that grew up in that era, you know, watching, you know, these big name guys out there when, you know, you would learn that kind of stuff when you were watching Jesse, you're watching Billy, or you're watching Paul Sr., Paul Jr., you're watching Indian Larry, you know, you're watching all these guys that did these incredible designs and fabrication, you know, and the production companies brought that to your home, to your couch. And it gave you, if you were just sitting there watching, it gave you that idea of like, you know, I think I could do that. Like maybe you probably couldn't, but it gave you that hope that you could go out in the garage because you had the same style cutoff wheel or grinder or sheet metal or something. And you figured you could just go to town with it, you know? So that's where it was a lot of fun, you know? And, you know, I think we've lost that in today's TV, but, you know, when you were able to grow up watching that kind of stuff, if you really allowed yourself to dive into it, it let you kind of take and run with it.
Good morning to Jack out there in Ontario, Canada. We see you, Jack. Joe Kramer's got questions for you coming through already. Love, so here's how it all started. It's in the book we're writing. You were picking this up at about the age of four. The age of eight, I took on a job at what's now Advanced Auto Parts as a night manager. I was doing forensic accounting downtown in Washington, D.C. And you would go to work when you were 8 years old with me. You wore a white button-down shirt with all the patches and pins because you were taking all of the industry exams and passing them. You hit your doctor's and motors at the age of nine, a very stellar award. And you wanted to start right around 11 or 12 years old. You wanted to start working with metals and things like that. So on a Saturday, I took on a job at a Meineke, a little Meineke, what do you call that, exhaust, Bob. And at that Meineke exhaust, you started learning how to bend pipe because at that time, stainless exhaust systems really weren't coming. They were an upcharge from the factory. They weren't industry standard at the time.
Yeah, it's you know, stainless is something that you know, not even just stainless, man, anymore. That was like the big hurrah, man. Like 15 years ago was you know, stainless metals. And of course, with anything, you know, technology has evolved, materials have evolved, you know, metals have evolved, and you know, that's one of those things that if you stay on top of it, you'll be a master with it all. But if you just kind of flatline with it, there's guys out there that still can't figure out how to weld steel together.
That's right.
So, you know, and all of that metal composite changes the way everything responds, the way you can bend it, the way you have to use special tooling for it. Maybe you need to use a mandrel bender. You need to use, you know, just a high press bender. You know, there are all different types of things that come into effect depending on the metals you're using, and exhaust systems, or even all the way down to, you know, air intakes, you know, cold air intakes, you know, the piping there alone, just piping in general, metals in general, aluminums, all of that has changed so much. And there are companies out there that have kind of flatlined with that stuff, and they're still doing basic steel exhaust systems. But the companies out there that have taken that and they've run way over the top with it, all the way down to, you know, T309 stainless, fully polished stuff, all the way up to titanium. You know, there are companies out there that have taken it and continued to push to give you the best quality product in the end.
And now, Bub, one of the things you mentioned was a mandrel bender. Let's talk a little bit about what type of benders are available on the market.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're going to be doing, you know, some crazy, crazy high end stuff, of course you want it to look as good as it possibly can, you know. And there was a time where, you know, bend styles from back in the day would be kink style systems. So, you would have crimps in your pipe. You would have, you know, ribs in your pipe. Some people argued whether or not that was for structure. Some people just, it's because it was the machine that it was being used on. But, you know, now when you're working with today's cars, you want the smoothest amount of flow on your pipe on the inside that you could possibly get, right? The better the flow, the better it's going to perform. So now we're all using mandrel style. It is a kink-free system. It looks super, super good. It's really smooth. Every roll, every bend is smooth. It's the same side or same size radius all the way throughout that system from the start to the finish.
So when your bend is made, it doesn't compress it into a smaller area where what we call the shoes or the pieces that the metal is bent on came in contact with the piece of pipe.
Right.
Correct? So, Bub, we have various different ones, mandrel bending. We have, I guess we've got water benders now today. We've got everything out there, man.
Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff.
And but back in the day when you started, the factory was still installing aluminum type of exhaust systems, correct?
Yes.
And with the aluminum, what were some of the problems with the aluminum exhaust systems?
You know, it's when you're working with that kind of stuff, it's the stuff naturally rots, man. It's
yep, that's it.
You have things that would, you know, they'd last depending on where the car was. Some things could literally last a month before they started already getting rust on them. And, you know, some companies out there would, you know, there were places where you would be replacing exhaust systems every 12 months if the car was in like a moisture environment. Mm-hmm. So you could put on a basic $100 muffler. 8 months from now, you're going to be replacing that muffler, whether because like the muffler itself just fell apart, the welds fell apart. It's crazy how much moisture and rust does to basic, raw, cheap steel material.
It does, Bob. And for example, let's also good morning to Greg out there, our good friend up there from LA Fitness, Bob. We want to say good morning to him.
Yep.
Bob, for example, one of the other things that would happen with yesterday's exhaust systems, if you will, from a carbureted application, if your carburetor wasn't tuned right and it was dumping too much fuel, what would happen?
Oh, yeah. You could definitely you can throw a bunch of fuel down in that exhaust system. You get a bunch of fumes in there and then you finally get ignition and boom.
And
you blow that sucker up, man.
That's correct.
You can literally just split a muffler wide open down the side.
You can. And that is because, Bub, as you say, the exhaust, the unburnt gas fumes or the unburnt gas looks for its next hottest ignition source outside of the engine, which mm-hmm. is in that catalytic converter muffler area there.
Yeah.
So that happens. That would blow those out. So with the advent of EFI and stainless systems, we've seen less of that, correct?
Yeah, it's you know, that's really not something that exists anymore, man. You don't really get – you don't really see – guys fueling up and blowing out mufflers anymore. You only see that really on carbureted style cars, man, where people just load them up with fuel and they yep. crank and crank and crank and crank and crank on them. And then before you know it, they've created
Boom.
A little bomb
yep.
Inside
That's
the
it.
Muffler or the cat or wherever it may be. You know, and you don't see that though anymore in today's cars, especially the higher end line of rides. You don't see that kind of stuff. These things are tuned to the T. There are no flaws with them at all.
And Bub, let me ask you a question. You moved in. You moved from the aluminum or the metal. It's not aluminum, Bub, because aluminum doesn't rust. You moved from the steel to the stainless. Everybody moved over to the
yeah.
stainless exhaust systems. Even the manufacturers, the OEM people. Now, a couple things that come to my mind. What does that do then to the mom and pop franchise like Meineke that or?
Well, just look around. I mean, they're all almost gone. You know, it's just that simple.
So they failed to evolve is what you're saying.
No, not necessarily that. It's not that they failed to evolve. It's what else are you going to evolve into? You know, you've locked yourself into a corner that is now virtually immortal. I mean, you have these exhaust systems that are lasting 20, 30, 40 years because they are stainless in their material or they're into the 309s, 409s. They are titanium. You know, there's all these different materials now that you put them on the car and that's it. Like, you're done. Like, you're not going to go back to that. You're not going to have to change it. So what's the point of that exhaust shop being there? The only reason it would be there is for a simple exhaust mod at this point in today's world. And exhaust mods, let's be honest, you pick up the phone, you call an aftermarket supplier, for example, such like Capristo, and you get
yep.
exactly what you want. You stick it on the car and it's done.
And it's done, Bob. So to your point, that does take a lot of it did save a lot of while there's a sadness that there was a decline in those shops, I'm sure it took people out of jobs. We took a lot of things out of a lot of scrap metal, for example, out of the junkyards, which is easier on our environment too, Bob.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you need to think about. You said 309 or 409, and we're going to get a question here from Joe, one of the many I'm sure today. We love when he participates. He's very cerebral and he wants to know. What is a 409 or 309, Bob, other than a spray cleaner?
No, so with metals, man, there is and literally metals could go on
metallurgy, yeah,
all
day long, like oil.
With in terms of the thicknesses, in terms of the grade of metal, whether it's 309, whether it's 409, whether it is just a straight steel, whether it is galvanized aluminum, whether it is titanium, dude. I mean, you could literally go on all day long. Each one of them has their own different pro and con to them. But it's all just differences in metal. That's what it comes down to.
And Joe would like to know what is – good morning to our very good friend Jeff Corsi out there. Jeff has been a diehard fan of ours through thick and thin. We really, really love him and his brother. They own Morpheus Wraps, Morpheus Design, which is our official wrap station. And ceramic station. In fact, you were doing some partnering up with them this weekend. Weren't you, Bob?
Yeah, Jesse and I were working some stuff out last week, and you know, we got some big stuff coming here. It actually hits this Wednesday.
Especially Bub with the brand new. We are Florida's official authorized dealer installer of the Capristo exhaust line now.
Yeah,
they are the hottest name in exhaust. Have been for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We went through class with Jordan prior to them extending this. That's just honor upon us, man. So that means all the Lambos, all the Ferraris, Porsches, BMWs, Bentleys, Maseratis, they all have to come through here now to get that exhaust on their car, man.
Yeah.
And we did a show on it yesterday too, Bub. We're going to jump into this thing. I want to talk a little bit about it. So the difference between the 409 and the 39er is the metallurgy, correct?
Yeah.
And also Joe wants to know, Bub, as well is.
And I mean, and that can, you can literally drill that down to. You know, not just thicknesses, the gauge of it, but also, you know, what that thing can do in terms of its heat. You know, it's just like you said about oils, you know, so it's literally when does it start breaking down? You know, what its capability is, how hot it can get, how cold it can get, just like anything out there. So each one of them has their own specific parameters. You know, in a lot of today's companies, when you're starting to work with, you know, bolt-on mods, aftermarket upgrades, a lot of guys are really starting to go to a full-on 309 or 409 stainless or a titanium system, but you are paying for that price. But again, this goes back to that comment I made a few minutes ago where you asked me about like the mom and pop Meineke's and exhaust shops.
Yes, sir.
You might be paying. So there was a time where people would pay $100 for a muffler.
And think that was something.
Right.
And think that was money.
So now in today's world, you're going to be probably triple that, maybe quadruple that, even 100 times that, depending on the quality of muffler you're buying. So it's going to be something, though, where you look at it from a standpoint of, well, am I ever going to go back to it? No. Like, once you buy it in today's materials, today's grade quality products, that's probably the last one you're going to buy until you want to change the tone.
So, Bub, for example, we, as I've shared with everybody, we are now the official Florida dealer of Capristo exhaust. They are the only ones that are recognized by big names, Lambo, Porsche, Ferrari, Maserati.
Mm-hmm.
Pagani's. I mean, Mercedes. They are the only official aftermarket performance exhaust recognized. Period. People have to come here to get it. There's a reason they chose you for it, because you went. They studied you a lot. They wanted to see the quality was there. They wanted to see that the customer service was there. The satisfaction ratings were there, and they went to you. Okay, it's huge, Bub. It's huge. Now, let me ask you a question about that. We have 4% on the line with that exhaust system. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
These exhaust systems are made in Germany. They are hand polished twice in the process. They are all CAD designed, 100% fit guarantee. The quality is there, period, 100%. We only have 4% to work with on that number.
Yeah.
Trying to move that number will remove our official license.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are we paying so much money for these titanium and these stainless exhausts?
It's pure on quality, man. That's it. It's just straight out quality, design, fitment, function, sound, performance. It's every one of the above. There, it's full on pros. There is not a single con. The only con is the fact that you're paying a lot of money. That is it. And that's the way most people would look at it. But I'll tell you what, when you compare it to what you're getting, it's incredible.
But again, Bub, to your point, good morning to Dr. Wade Van Sice, the orthopedic surgeon of not only myself, but the Miami Marlins. Very good friend of mine. Good guy, man. Very good guy. Trying to get him out there to run some dirt track with the bikes with us, Bub. I can't get him out there. New car, because he's got to stay with the dirt.
Probably.
Yeah, he bought a carbon fiber bike for like $15,000 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? I sent him a picture of a cat with his that had his tongue the other day. I hadn't talked to him for a couple of days, so I had to tease him a little.
Mm-hmm.
Good dude, man. Really good dude.
Yeah.
So, Bub, one of the things Joe Kramer up in Fairfax, Virginia was wondering is, what about insulating exhaust temperatures in the engine bay? Is that something you even worry about?
You know, that's a good question. It's, you know, heat insulation, especially on today's cars, man. It's, you know, a lot of today's cars, everybody knows they're starting to go into more of a forced induction turbocharge application, smaller motors, more boost. So that's really where everyone's going. The new Ford GT has gone from a massive,
oh, it has,
massive supercharged V8 design to a twin turbo V6, right?
And is that what's in that new GT?
Yeah. So it's literally an EcoBoost setup, which is incredible that that kind of supercar is out there running on a V6 twin turbo. Not many people would always want to drop down. Most people want to go up V8,
V10, V12. But
does it
have the same V8 power, though? Does it keep you
It's an animal. It's an absolute animal.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, with that said, turbos create a lot of heat. They retain a lot of heat because they are running like cast exhaust housings on them. So they do retain a lot of heat. So you do have turbo blankets. You do have a lot of heat shields and wraps. A lot of these new systems, Joe, if you've seen them, that we've been putting up on the BEM website, for example, you look at like the McLaren 720S exhaust or the 675LT exhaust, those actually come with heat blankets. Because of how
You're
much
right.
heat they do generate.
Yeah.
So you do want to insulate, but not something where in today's world you need to go above and beyond adding insulation. If it was there from the factory, trust me, it is good enough. It's already been R&D'd and tested to make sure that, you know, it doesn't cause paint to bubble on the outside, because that was a big factor as well. And, you know, improper hood insulation or fender well insulation, and you could literally boil paint.
But Joe also would like to know, would you recommend exhaust wrapping a T409 header? And Jack Bias says, yeah, Germany certainly has, Jack Bias says, Germany certainly has quality metals, Bob.
Yeah.
So would you do that? Would you wrap, heat wrap?
You know, that's always a hard one to consider. It's, I guess really it's all about your, you know, what you're working around, you know, how close is it to certain things? How close is it to harnesses? You know, going from a manifold to a header is probably going to be a change in diameters. And sizing, sometimes it for the better, sometimes for the worse in terms of heat in that area. So, you know, you look at, for example, like the Hellion twin turbo kits we're doing on all the Mustangs. The Hellion twin turbo kits, you have to header wrap everything. You literally do. And it's coming in a full stainless finish. But because the clearances are so small, like half inch, 3/4 inch, 1 inch clearance between piping from the turbos to main harnesses, you want to wrap all that stuff. So it's all going to come down to clearances, what mods you're doing, and what you're kind of working with.
So, Bob, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
It used to be not too long ago, and I think you and I will admit that, you know, part of our business model is, and my fault as a business owner and your partner, was I didn't involve the business fast enough. I kept my hands down on the classic cars for far too long while the whole industry was changing around us. And we have certainly what that created was a situation where we had to rush very quickly to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Not you, me, okay? You're always on the cutting edge of everything. And that's why Capristo came to you. So with these advances, right, we have seen things like cutouts that everybody used to pay you hundreds of dollars to run wiring to a switch in their dash and cut out right under their seat. And you laugh and shake your head. That was only a couple of years ago, Bob.
Yeah, but it was still a joke. It's a sloppy joke and a quick way to just throw on a louder style exhaust.
And today,
and there's zero tone to it at all.
There's
zero
tone. No tone.
No.
It just sounds like an open, nasty, wet header.
Worse.
It does, doesn't it?
Worse, because it's typically going through a set of cats, and then it's going through an X-pipe, and then you have this cutout.
Yeah, it's horrible. Is that my phone, Bob?
Yeah.
What's the notification?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Bob.
That would be you. Any of that dinging.
All right, there you go. So anyways, I apologize for that, Bob. So anyways, Bob, now we have the Capristo line of exhausts that for all the exotics, the only car that they're doing, American-made car, is the Corvette. Understandably so.
Yeah, C6 right? and C7, yeah.
C6 and C7, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these all have what we call diverters or valves in them.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So in today's cars, again, man, that technology we're going is, you know, essentially you get these pre-built packages that are, if they're more of a sport-oriented design, they've got a little bit of everything. They've got the comfort, they've got the luxury, they've got the styling to them, but they also have that adjustability in terms of power and performance. So naturally, out of the gate, you start that car up. It's most of these systems in today's world are going to come with some sort of electronic diverter or valving that literally will open versus or based upon what your throttle input is doing. So what you're requesting or demanding out of the car, if you're quarter throttle, it'll be in a cruise mode. Tips will be closed at the back. It'll just be full on chambered through the muffler. It'll be quiet and calm. Maybe 50% throttle, that valve will start opening up. Wide open throttle, of course, that valve will be wide open, which is going to change the way the exhaust system allows it to flow, whether it's going through a muffler that is packed or it's going to be a straight through design or a high flow design. and that is a much more aggressive tone. So that is something that you get on most of today's cars in terms of the performance side. So like the Corvettes, the Chargers, the Hellcats, you know, anything that's got power, you know, Ferraris, Porsches, they're all going to come sort of valved like that. And, you know, when you start working with aftermarket mods, you want to make sure that you retain that stuff. So you don't throw on lights on the dash or, you know, do any simulators or rigging that you have to do. You shouldn't have to. You buy systems that are ready to go that when you stick them on that car, it's going to give you that same quality fit and finish as what the factory would have been, but better. Better for performance, better for the power, the torque, better for the sound. You know, it's going to give you that sound you're looking for. So all of these systems from Capristo do offer all of that. They are direct fit. They do come with all of the factory diverters. So if you do have a system that already was set up for electronic controls, whether you control it inside the car with a push button, a dial, whatever it may be, or customized through the dash, you can also actually have their extra controllers to put it on and do whatever the heck it is you want at whatever time you want just by a remote.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here and get back into it with the master. Give him a break to think. This Race Ready Report is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports and Miss Outlaw Boutique. Ladies and gentlemen, the moose is loose, exclusively on the web, msoutlawboutique.com. So, Bub, our race driver, the BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, is working an event up in the Washington, D.C. He did send his race report in. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a chance to stop because you keep having to throw out all the technical information. Mark shares with us, ladies and gentlemen, around the world that they wanted in the we had the Strictly with the number 32. They took second place. Bub, again, another take, another good hit, man. And the hobby stock with the number 12 car, 10th in the Camping World Truck Series Wednesday, 7-8-18. And NASCAR this week, Bub, up in New Hampshire Speedway, and this weekend at the NHRA, and is in the so the NHRA, Bub, is at the is in Denver for the Mile High Nationals, man. Those cars are going to have to, well, they're all on fuel injection up there, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. Depends on those cars.
Is it?
Yeah.
So they, different classes run different different systems and stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you're up in Denver, man, wouldn't you have to do a lot of carburetor adjustings and settings like that?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so NASCAR is at New Hampshire Speedway this weekend, and NHRA is in Denver for the Mile High Nationals. So congratulations to the BEM dirt track team with Mr. Mark Hoffman up there. Hobby stock number 12 was in 10th. The Camping World Truck Series is in NASCAR this weekend. And he goes on to say, watch Denny Hamlin and any of the Joe Gibbs cars, Bub. Seems like anything Coach Gibbs touched, man, turned to gold, didn't it?
Yeah.
How about that, man? He had his hands full when he went back to the Redskins, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wow, man. How about that? Thank you, Mr. Mark Hoffman, the BEM driver. We really appreciate it. This race report has been brought to you by Miss Outlaw Boutique, MS Outlaw Boutique, ladies and gentlemen. But back into it. We were talking about the diverter valves. I noticed that on the Capristo exhaust that we were showing live on yesterday's daily live stream, that they had a vacuum fitted system, and as that vacuum was created, and I found that odd, Bub, because that was on the Ferrari 458 Spaciale, and I would have thought that their technology would have brought that up to be electronic, am I wrong about that?
No, you know, it's that's the way most of them are set up. Is even though the valves are there on most of today's systems, they're still being vacuum controlled, which there's nothing wrong with it. You can also get, like you mentioned, the electronic style controllers for them. So there are plenty of options out there. But if you want to keep it so it's just plug and play, Capristo designed it so it's ready to go, bolt right on that car.
It really is, Bub. And the quality of it, man, it's different when you see it in the magazine, in their catalog. The catalog's real thick and smells real good. And it's got all kinds of carbon components. And they do have carbon components, Bub, for direct fit components that match the factory weave, man.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of key, man. When you're building with, you know, carbon, I think one of the hardest things to do, let's face it, man, carbon fiber is not cheap. And, you know, although it is very, very light, it really costs nothing to make. And, you know, people can run that price tag up there and there's nothing wrong with that.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. It's still just a carbon weave. It's nothing more than a weave that you mold just like fiberglass. You're doing it with carbon and you're creating something. So it's not like it's something that is crazy, incredibly expensive in terms of cost of supplies and materials to make it. But in order to make it and make it quality, it's expensive and people can charge all day long for that. And there's nothing wrong with it. You have something that no one else can do and it is a perfect quality job. It doesn't matter whether it is, let's say, for example, Capristo or Carbon Creations or Aero Function. It doesn't matter if it's Anderson Composites. We use all of the best carbons out there in the industry, depending on, you know, what models we're building with, whether it's Mustangs or Vets or, you know, Exotics, whatever the case may be. All of them are good. But it is another thing to take it and move that bar up. And what I mean is, typically when you buy carbon fiber, it is hard because you just are buying, people buy carbon fiber not knowing how in-depth and technical it can get. Well, there are different weave patterns. There's like 1x1 cubes, there are 2x2s, there are 3x3s and 4x4s. So all of these cube sizes and mesh patterns and weave designs are all different. Audi is different than Mercedes. Mercedes is different than Porsche, for example, sometimes different than the AMG packages versus base model. All different designs, all different grains, and all of that has to be done matching in terms of aftermarket add-ons that maybe you're adding on to the factory style carbon, so you don't have that difference in look and that difference in appearance. You want it to be something that looks like you pulled it out of a box from, for example, Audi, where we just did this morning. We just uploaded all of the Audi R8 V10 plus carbon fiber parts from Capristo. And, you know, for example, like their four-piece front spoiler that just went on the BEM website, that is a dead-on match to if Audi were to have designed it and built it for that car. That's what Capristo has done, and they've done it in the exact same weave, grain, and pattern so that it looks like a factory fit and finish Audi product.
And to that point, Bob, one of the things you like to do is build exactly like a factory builder. You want everything to look like it came from the factory. That's who you are. That's how you build. And that marriage with Capristo is what's so attractive to me, because they follow that exact same line of thinking.
Well, you know, it's pushing the limit. You're pushing it as far as you can. You're building as aggressive as you can, but you're making it look like it is just meant to be. So there's no chance anyone can walk up and look at it and be like, why does that not look like it belongs there? Like something looks wrong. That doesn't happen when you're dealing with Capristo products. It is, you walk up and you look at it and it's like I tell you all the time, it's almost hard for some people to understand it because the quality is so spot on. You just walk up and look at it and it's a natural, like, man, that looks good. So you almost don't even get that satisfaction out of it because it is so perfect in terms of its fit and finish and the way it bolts up. It just, the whole design just kind of jumps out at you as a one. It's not like an individual piece jumps out and you're like, oh, why does it look like that? It doesn't look like it's fitting right, or, you know, something looks wrong, or it's a quarter inch off here. It's not like that. When you walk up and look at something that is featured and built, designed by Capristo, it's, you walk up and you look at it and you're like, all right, really nice. And then you move on.
And Bob, one of the things you were talking about were cube patterns just a moment ago. So that means in a certain box or a certain diameter, there are a certain number of cubes within that.
Yeah.
Okay. So do these cube patterns, for example, affect the strength of the carbon product?
Not too much. No, it's, a very, very, very little bit. But not too much. No, it's more of a design standpoint. But my point with it was, say, for example, there's a company out there that sells, I got to get two things side by side. Let's say there's a company out there that sells a rear wing for your car, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's got a 2x2 pattern on it. And, you know, that's kind of like a go-to. Everybody knows that pattern as what you see on, like, your cell phone cases or your average go-to carbon fiber is typically a 2x2 pattern, and people go with that. So let's just say there's a rear wing available for your car, and you buy it from company X. Let's say now you want to find a set of taillight bezels, right? Just a couple inches below the wing, but you can't find it from that same company. So you start going out, you're looking around. Maybe you find it from another company, but guess what? Their patterns are 1x1. So it's going to be a finer grain. It's going to be a tighter grain. So now you've got two different brands carbon on your car, which doesn't really matter because, again, the carbon is carbon. It's just that simple. But you're looking at your wing, and naturally your eye starts going down to the taillight bezels you've just bought from a different company, and you have a totally different grain pattern. So you start looking back and forth, and you're like, well, now what? Now it doesn't look that good.
But not everybody would notice that, Bob. Very few people would.
Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised, though. It's, guys that are spending good money on carbon, they want that quality product. And, it's really hard because you want to match all that stuff. And if you shortcut it or cheap it, or, you know, some people even go as far as just buying 3M vinyl for carbon, and they just wrap everything on their car. Well, the only pro you get to that is all of it's going to match.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But even when you wrap something like that, you've got to be careful because you always, unlike the things that we do with Morpheus, where it's really high-end stuff, You buy a wrap like that over the counter, man, it's just not going to hold up to the heat and the water. And
well, it's going to fade, and it's they all have UV length on them, and what's going to last, and how they tell you how long it's going to last. So don't complain if it's only going to last 8 months.
Exactly.
And you park it in the sun every day.
Now, Joe, if you want to call in and join us and ask Bub himself a couple of questions, do that. 714-242-5166. 714-242-5166. You don't have to email them into me. You can just or text them into me, and you can see that we watch everybody. We answer everybody who comes in live, Bub. You're more than welcome to ask Bub questions about the exhaust directly, just as I do. It's a lot to it. There's an awful lot to it. Bub, do you ever see the return of the old galvanized exhaust systems? Do you see that anymore? Do you think people will do that again? Or, you know, I mean, Flowmaster still is doing it the same way.
No, you know, it's a lot of companies are finally starting to really evolve on that. And, you know, that's something that, you know, in terms of like in terms of today's world, power packages, things like that, we were talking with a couple of our sponsors this past week about, you know, pre-built power packages. And, you know, for example, modern performance cars, man, they don't need much. You know, for the average guy, cars that are coming out of the gate with 450, 500, 600 horsepower, they don't need much to be impressive. You know, they don't need much to change your opinion on them in terms of power gains. So what I mean by that is there's, you know, your go-to bolt-ons are typically like intake, exhaust, and a tune to match that. Most companies and designs out there, fuel systems from the stock are, you can pretty well expand them out, you know, quite a pretty good amount of horsepower. So if you've got a car that's at 500 horse, you do some bolt-ons and tunes to it, you could probably get that thing up to 575, 600. So that's a big difference in just a couple bolt-ons and a jump right there. But, you know, what I was getting to is that today's companies are starting to now not only do the exhaust side of product, but also starting to pair that and match that with their own in-house R&D, dyno-tuned, proven and tested intake assemblies, and also pre-built programmers, right? So you're no longer having to, and this is how far the technology is moving, you're no longer having to jump around and find like an AEM intake assembly or some sort of carbon versus K&N filters or, you know, Flowmaster exhaust and a Diablo tuner. Or now you can literally just start going to one company, for example, like Flowmaster. They do have full pre-built packages of everything now, intake, exhaust, and a tune.
Right on.
So it is pre-built. It is pushed to the limit. It is one box out of the gate that gives you a full stage two upgrade, and it is proven all the way to that far limit that you can get.
Jack says, Bub, he has a flat sheet of carbon fiber. Can it be heated and shaped?
Ooh. You know, I guess that just depends on the carbon that's there. Of course, you can heat stuff. You can flex stuff. You just have to make sure that you're working that stuff properly when you do it, man. As everybody knows, everything flexes and molds and moves at certain temperatures. You just got to make sure you're operating in the right range.
That's not something you could put like a hairdryer to and think that that's going to generate enough heat. Certainly, it's got to be able to withstand pretty extreme temperatures, Bub, to sit outside, you know, in the sun day after day after day after day after day.
Yeah.
And those considerations are taken into place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I'd say fire up a gas stove and just put it right on top of the gas burner.
Yeah. Typically, when you're working with carbon molds, you're actually working, you know, to create designs or shapes. You're actually doing it before the weave and composite actually hardens up. So you do create that form, and then you can do cutting and trimming from there. So typically flat sheets, most people use them for paneling, switch panels, you know, gauge panels, things like that.
Okay. Interesting. Very good, Jack. That's a very, very good question, isn't it, Bub?
Yeah.
That's a great question. And Bub, as I was looking at the Capristo exhaust yesterday, the diverter valves, which open and close and allow, they have a butterfly in them, which allows the exhaust to be more free flow or not free flow.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, you know, it's a vacuum operated system for the 458,
mm-hmm.
and it literally turns the mechanism turns to open and close the butterfly, right? How reliable is that? Will the vacuum pods in there last forever by today's technology
standards?
Yeah,
it's instantaneous.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's they'll last forever, and it's totally instantaneous the way it responds. It's just that fast.
Is it a lot for that vacuum module to hold the pressure on it to keep it held in the
nothing?
No,
nothing.
It's just a little vacuum pod, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we were using vacuum pods on the old Turbo Hydro 350 GM transmissions, weren't we?
Yeah.
And a lot of those old transmissions.
Yeah.
Man, also now gone by the wayside, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You talk about things that have electronically taken over, man.
Yeah.
The trans have taken over, haven't they?
Yeah, man, it's everything has, you know, it's all turned electronic, and you know, it just all continues to keep updating from there.
Yeah, it just, and it just, when you look at the quality of the welds, we were talking about it before we went on live on the air yesterday at 11 a.m. because, as everybody knows, we do a show from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Monday and Friday Eastern Standard Time. And when we were when we were physically live, we were looking at the welds themselves. And, you know, we were talking about a robot created those welds, but your welds are even tighter and more beautiful, man. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, just it's all about that skill.
Morning Caller, you're on the air with Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good morning, man. Good. Who is this?
This is Joe Kramer up in Fairfax.
Joe Kramer. Good morning, my friend. How are you from up in Fairfax, Virginia, man? How is everything up there?
Everything's good. We just we got a cold front running in. It's going to be raining for a few days, but gives me time to work on the car, so that's good.
It does. So now, Joe, tell everybody around the world what kind of car. You are a frequent guest of ours. We love you very much for that. Tell us a little bit, please. Tell the world again about what your project is.
So my project is a 1995 Nissan 240SX, the first half of 1995. I have the round headlights. Four-cylinder. Sadly, it's an automatic transmission, but this thing's fun as it is. I don't really want to change that.
Sure.
My vision is to bring this into the present-day auto market with what we're seeing now with other Nissans, other mid-range sports cars. So getting it stanced, getting the sound right, getting the interior right, and making sure she doesn't stop running.
That's always a key goal, isn't it, Joe? I mean, it has to stay running, right?
Exactly. I don't want a lawn ornament that's costing me a couple thousand a year.
Yeah, yeah. Especially in Virginia, you pay taxes. There's annual taxes on the cars. Now, yours may not be, because of the air, it may not be too terrible, but there are taxes that are paid on those vehicles. And plus the insurance fees, because you have tags on it, the registration fees, all of that, man. It adds up, doesn't it?
Yep, it does.
So, absolutely. So, Bub, Joe wanted to talk to you a little bit about exhaust systems today.
Yeah, well, you know, before we get into that, Joe, I wanted to ask you, so the last time we talked, you were setting the stance on that car. How did that turn out for you?
Yeah. Turned out really well. I got in touch with Silver's coilovers, and funnily enough, the guy who runs the U.S. branch has another S14, and he was telling me due to the way that the intake manifold is, it's cast aluminum, it's heavy. He was telling me that the passenger side rides lower due to the uneven weight distribution laterally. So the gas tank's also positioned off to the passenger side a little bit more, which explains the tilting. So all I got to do is raise it up a little bit and reset the preload, and I'm good.
So what you're going to do then is just offset it on that passenger side to compensate for that weight.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
And that was one of the things, Bub, you had said. Either you got an uneven floor, you've got uneven weight sitting in the front of that thing.
Yeah.
Somewhere, which will cause it. And it doesn't take much to throw it off.
No, it's you know, it really doesn't. And, you know, especially when you're trying to set stance too, man. It's, you know, you're setting it as tight as you could possibly get it without any scrubbing or rubbing, which is hard to achieve.
Yeah, man.
You know, especially on something like that. That's, you know, today's world, not too hard to really set a tight, tight stance. Back then, the fender wells were a little thicker. You had, you know, a little bit more of a roll on the edge of them.
Yeah.
To where now today's cars are virtually almost, I mean, you've got dead on 3-inch clearance up inside the fender wells from a straight up and down vertical standpoint.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Versus the older cars where it's, you naturally had like this kind of taper and roll that went in, you know, so no matter how much stretch you put on your tires, it's like you still had to modify the crap out of the insides to really tuck them tight without rubbing.
When you say stretch, you're saying what?
Like, so you're running a, you know, a narrower size tire for your rim to stretch it to the lip. So you get this tapered look.
Okay. So Joe, now let's talk a little bit. What are your thoughts about the exhaust on this project? You've worked pretty hard on this car. What are you thinking about it? What plans do you have for it?
So I've removed the factory exhaust. A bunch of the flanges weren't marrying up flush, so I had exhaust leaking into the cab. Decided, you know what, good time to upgrade everything. I ended up going with a 4-2-1 collector for the header, and I went with a turbo back exhaust that worked out real well. Everything was bolt in, no problems. I have a high flow catalytic converter because Virginia requires that. And I'm just running into excessive heat in the engine bay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where's that? Where's the cat located on that car by chance?
The cat is located, I'm pretty much sitting right on top of it in the driver's seat. It's got mm-hmm. it got relocated about 2.5 feet further down the exhaust.
Now that car, Joe, if I remember, that's not an electric fan setup on there yet, is it? Is that a manual fan on the front of the motor?
Yeah, it's attached to it's a clutch fan.
Yeah, that's what I thought on those things. So you will naturally have a little bit more engine heat from that, only because you're not running like a twin electric fan setup that's running, you know, full RPM. Those clutch fan designs are, you know, they're great to have. You know, they were early. They
Power robbing.
Yeah, big time power robbers on there for sure. Yeah. Super, super loud.
Yeah.
You know, but you definitely held engine heat with those. It's I don't think it's much more than you know, any sort of exhaust restrictions or anything like that you need to worry about. I think it's just naturally you're not moving a lot of air across that motor, so you're just generating heat.
Interesting.
In the engine bay. You know, naturally, of course, your exhaust system is going to create heat. But you mentioned earlier mm-hmm. about, you know, possibly wrapping like a 409, anything like that. I mean, it's, you know, when you wrap things, it's to me, I feel like when you wrap things, yeah, you're bringing engine temps down, but quite honestly, I don't think, and unless there's some sort of proven stuff out there, when I've done wraps on stuff,
I know where you're
going. I don't know if you're really changing it by anything more than maybe 10 degrees in terms of, you know, the heat that you're holding down. I don't think that you're really changing too much heat. It's still there. The heat's still there.
Right.
If you touch the pipes, they're still going to be hot.
Yeah.
Your skin's not going to get stuck to them right away because that wrap is there. But I think that's really more of what the wrap is. It's going to cool it down just a little bit, and it's going to be more for protection of burning or melting through anything else.
Hey, Joe,
yeah,
what kind of fuel? Go ahead, Joe.
I said, that's mainly my concern is that with the new headers, they're all equal length, so they have a bunch of excessive bends in them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them come pretty close to, like, my power steering lines, brake lines, and all that. So just trying to keep everything that doesn't need to be hot, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, so when we do some of our installs, there's two ways you could do it. One is you can wrap your header. And depending on the finish of your header, maybe you want to see the header that you have, you know, whether it's polished or ceramic coated or whatever it may be. You could either mm-hmm. wrap that with, you know, your preference in, you know, header wraps. You can get those colored if you want colors in there. Or you can also go with, instead of wrapping the header, reverse it, and you can actually buy a tape style header wrap that you can literally put like over your power steering lines. It's easy. You don't have to wrap it, you know, like taking a roll and wrapping it around and around and around like electrical tape you would on wires. It's literally just like a 2-inch long sleeve or 2-inch wide sleeve that's by however long you want. And it's just sticky. So you just open it up and you stick it around your power steering line and close it down.
That sounds a lot cheaper and easier than wrapping a header.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. It's actually, bro, it's a pretty decent look, too. If you take the time and you put it on there properly.
Yeah, it conforms to it.
Yeah,
right,
if you mold it around it, it literally just – it takes the shape of the line and stuff that you're working with. So whether it's like – for example, you mentioned your brake lines. If you have like three lines running side by side or two lines running side by side, you could do both of them together and you just – it wraps around the line super smooth and then you just have this like half-inch, you know, seam – on one side of it that you just squeeze it all together and it literally tapes itself together and that's it.
And Bob, why do you want to be careful about brake line temperatures?
Oh, it's, I've actually had that one happen to me. You can actually melt through lines, especially older brake lines, man. They're a little bit more that aluminized style feel to them so that they don't rust, but they are thinner. So heat will naturally melt them. And then naturally brake fluid will ignite at a certain temperature. And I've actually had that happen to me on one of my rides.
Yes, you have. And not only that, it'll boil that brake fluid too.
Yeah.
And you'll have pedal fall off as well.
Yep, you will.
You've dealt with that as well on those.
Jack, just out of curiosity, can you tell Bub tell Bub what fuel management system you're running on that?
It's a stock fuel system. Haven't had any issues with it. I'm looking at upgrading it to a radium fuel rail. Still want to try and keep everything as stock looking as possible. But as far as replacing it, I've never had any need to. It's run fine. Everything's been great. It looks messy. That's my only downside to it.
Has Joe sent you any pictures of that? Joe,
can I get pictures
of the car, please?
Yeah. Hold on one sec.
You got all right. By the way, Mom says I need that for my waist, Bub. I assume she's talking about the conforming tape.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Trust me, man.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. So one of my thoughts was, Bubba, I was wondering if Joe was getting a little hot there with running too much fuel down the line, but it doesn't sound like it. Could it be, though, with the change in the high-flow cat and everything?
No, it's if anything, he'd actually be less heat in that engine bay than factory because it's going to be more of a high-flow style system that's on that car. If it's a turbo-back style exhaust, if it's got a high-flow cat on it, a 4-to-2-to-1 header, it's already got a great increase in flow. So it's going to be actually less heat generated. Not necessarily generated, but retained. There will be less to retain in that engine bay than it would be had it just been a stock style system.
Okay, so it's nothing like. Hold on one second. Joe, send us a picture, but I want to get you the opportunity to look at this thing here and see what you've got up against here, because there may be something that jumped out at you from that perspective. Here, let's see. Joe sent me a picture. Let's see what we got here.
One thing I do know for sure, Joe, is there's no Capristo exhaust product available for the 240.
Yeah, there's not, is there? No. There is for the Skyline. Okay, Bub. So here's what he's looking at here.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, you can see the fuel runners, or the rails are real tight.
And it's crazy too how much how much stuff is on those late 80s, early mid 90s cars, man, in terms of emissions and electronics and wiring and vacuum hoses and. Man, there's just stuff all over the place.
Yeah, there is, Bub. And we can see it. That almost looks like a ceramic coating, Joe, on top of that header itself.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it looks
like. Yeah, see, and something like that, Joe, it's you're gonna want to leave that ceramic finish. I mean, you paid good money to have that ceramic finish. Obviously, you bought the ceramic coated style for a reason. You like it. So it's not something that I would naturally go and wrap it all up in a header wrap. I would do the other route, which would be to cover up any of your lines or harnesses that are near it and around it. And you can do it in a way that makes it look like a factory style finish.
Yeah, you can. I can see where you're seeing the steering knuckle right there coming into the box itself is close to that header right there, especially the one up number three bin, Bub, right there. See it right in there,
yep.
There, right there.
But a good setup, man. I'll tell you what,
that's
a nice setup to have is when you actually do buy, like you mentioned, every header tube the exact same length. So those are considered tuned headers, and they actually are equal in length, which creates your best torque curve all the way across the board for all of those cylinders. One's not performing faster than another in terms of the airflow, how fast it gets to the collector. They all are the exact same length, so they have the exact same flow characteristics, which is best for your overall power band and torque and response.
These are the things people will learn by listening to the master.
Yep.
You forget more in 30
tuned headers. I mean, they're good. They're expensive. It's you're paying for that. Again, you're paying for an R&D right there that somebody's done that's made it proven. Not just a little shorty manifold or a shorty header that you stick on there that is, nice and clean looking, but every tube it goes from 3 inches to 9 inches.
And that was one of the biggest things is trying to figure out what manufacturer actually puts in the R&D to develop these things. Cause that's me. I'm a geek of how things are made.
Yes, of course.
So, like, I appreciate all the welds. I appreciate all the metallurgy that goes into the R&D for these products. And that's what that's exactly what I want to pay for.
Yeah. Yep.
Not just looks.
I see it, Bub. I clearly see it. He's still got clearance right here on the steering knuckle, though.
Yeah.
right? He's good on that. Yeah. Even on a hard or emergency stop.
Yeah, but see, like this line closest to you, that
right
yeah,
here,
that half inch, 5/8 diameter. Yeah, yeah, right there.
Yep.
So that would be something. I mean, that's a power steering line. Is it super close? No, I'd say by the picture, it looks like a couple inches.
Yep.
But if you do want to, from a safety standpoint, you can wrap that sucker and you'll be good to go.
What about, Bub, one of the things I notice here in Joe's motor, and we can comment on that one way or the other, it almost looks to me like we're running the OEM or the original equipment of the manufacturer distributor right there. Is there anything that needs to be done with that in terms of power performance upgrades?
No, you know, it's, you know, like what I'm seeing, Joe, is, you know, I see that you've got a, you know, your setup is – it looks like in terms of bolt-ons is really the upgrade to the exhaust side of it. Everything else looks like you've kept it fairly stock and clean. Yes.
Exactly. And that's, I thought about upgrading to a coil packs, but if I do that, I'm going to end up dropping more money into doing everything electronic. So
yeah,
going with like a Haltech ECU, going with a Wiring Specialties Pro harness, like getting everything redone. But honestly, that's just going to distract from like me keeping this thing on the road and just enjoying it every day. Cause this is right now I got this back as my daily driver. So,
okay. And Bob, to your point, I do see the stock fan shroud right here.
Mm-hmm.
That does not provide for a lot of cooling. And if you recall, when valve cover gaskets went bad on these, it was typically in the number four position because airflow didn't get back there and they would take a lot of abuse back in that side of the engine.
Yeah, you know, it's and that's when, man, it's as much as you would think aluminum-based products would, be really good in terms of their sealing characteristics, that is when, you know, like that mid-90s era, man, there was a lot of people starting to, you know, really get into getting away from like a press style and a torque style, you know, cork and rubber valve cover gasket design to,
yeah,
they went, you know, over to these neoprene ones where they actually had shims in them that would have bottom stop washers. So you couldn't over torque anything. You could literally put them on, tighten them down, and that was it.
Yep.
You know, that's when that stuff really took a beating, was from heat, man. And that cast aluminum, as lightweight as it is, it definitely held heat, a lot of it. And that's what a lot of those cars came with in, you know, like that mid-80s, 90s era, was just heavy duty. It wasn't a full-on cast. It was a cast aluminum combo, you know, to where it was a little lighter weight, but also from a heat standpoint, god dang, did it get hot.
It did, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It got hot. And once it was hot for hours.
And I think based on what I'm seeing here, Joe's build has been clean. He's done, you know, basic, you know, easy upgrades. I don't think that's creating his big heat problem inside that car, man.
No, not at all. It's, you know, naturally it's just going to be, you know, for example, like the factory, I'm sure, Joe, before you swap that header out, the factory manifold that was there would have been a full-on cast, and that would have had probably some sort of aluminum shield on it, something like that.
That's right.
So you wouldn't have felt much of that. I'm sure there was I'm sure there probably had to be a heat shield on the top side of it between that and like the brake master cylinder, things like that in that area. So naturally,
yeah,
it had
like a aluminum, some really low gauge aluminum sheet
preform
that had like some wool inside it or something.
Yep.
So naturally it would feel as if, you know, when you stuck your hand in that area, it'd feel like it was cooler. You know, really, it wasn't. It's just the fact that heat shield was there, and it was just kind of diverting that heat down towards the bottom, not just letting it kind of sit and, you know, smolder around in that entire area over there where the header now is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Joe, thank you for joining us once again on this episode. We are at the top of the hour. The station or the studio up in New York is queuing us out of here. Joe, we really, really appreciate you being such an integral, active part of the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family, man. It means a lot to us, brother.
I appreciate you guys having me on. As always, love you guys. Keep up the good work.
Love you
as well,
man.
Joe.
Thank you so much. Bub, what a great show, man. An hour passes when you're kind of throwing that technological information out there, doesn't it, man?
Yeah, you know, and to just cap on Joe's point, you know, and that just goes to show, you know, some of the things that we had talked about earlier on in the show in terms of like the Capristo exhaust systems and that the metallurgy that you've got with all of that, you know, even that style alone is going to be what changes just temps alone, engine temperatures, exhaust temperatures, you know, the coatings that are on them, the finishes that are there. How fast can you touch that system after you've shut that car off? Things like that, all of it comes into play.
It does, doesn't it, Bubba?
Yep.
Right on. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Doing It Bubba Style. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We are the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. Kenny, good morning. Our lead tech, guy who takes a lot of crap along around here, Bub, but a lot of crap goes on around here too, doesn't it, Bub?
Yep.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to march it off into the weekend here, and we want you to do something for us. We want you to have a really good weekend. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the moose is loose. Full time on the web now. Miss Outlaw Boutique. We spell it MSOutlawBoutique.com. Greater discounts, deeper discounts, wider variety of accessories and apparel. Miss Outlaw Boutique. How about that, Bub? She's killing it over there, isn't she?
Yes.
Capristo Exhaust, Bub. Beautiful new partnership. The big, I mean, just we couldn't be any more proud of this one. This is a big one, isn't it, man?
Yeah, man. If you guys haven't seen it, go out to the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports website, bubbasexoticmotorsports.com, or also the Instagram.com/bubbasexoticmotorsports. All of the new products from Capristo are literally getting uploaded as we speak. So if you guys do have one of those rides out there and you are looking for the best products in the industry, guaranteed hottest products, lowest prices, Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com.
The other thing, Bub, is too, we're building a package. So we have the wheel and tire combination, the Aventador body kits or any body kits, and the Capristo exhaust systems, man. It's going to be one stop shop, man.
Yep.
Big time. I'm looking forward to it. Capristo is exhaust.
Done Bubba style.
And Orange County Choppers, Bub. Monday, they're back with an all new episode, 10 o'clock on Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Do you know what this episode is, Bub, by chance?
It's the season finale already.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Is it really, Bub?
Yeah. 5 shows and they're already working on season 2.
What?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Have you talked to Senior Joni to find out what this episode is?
Yeah, it's the unveil of the new Yankees bike.
Really, Bub?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, he gets it faster than I do, and I don't know how. Senior's my friend. Way to go, Bub. Monday night, 10 o'clock, the unveil of the season finale and the unveil of the new Yankees bike. Right, Bub?
Yeah.
How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today, man. Open the door for somebody whose hands are full. Bub, who's out in the lobby out there?
No one.
Oh, okay. I see you keep looking out the studio right there. Are you like a butterfly in a cage? You just want to get out and go?
Yeah, we're already over time, so wrap it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Well, can we? Let's open the door for somebody whose hands are full. Doesn't matter how bad your day is. Doesn't matter the pressure that is down on your shoulders. Put that smile on your face and do something positive, all right? Let's put shoes on somebody's feet that may have a hole in them. Guys, you've got an old pair of sneakers in the back of your trunk. Help somebody out, all right? And if somebody's standing there at the corner with a sign that says, "We'll work for food," right across the street, Citgo, 7-Eleven, power bar and a protein drink. Man, that's better than your designer cup of coffee, man. Until Monday at 11 o'clock with the number one rated internationally syndicated live stream, Bub. Let's just keep on
doing it Bubba style.
Doing it Bubba style.